1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, and now at 1019 on your FM dial in the Manchester area. It is Feldis and Kale, and we are proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, located at 124 Store Street in Concord. WeedFamilyAutomotive.com online, or you can call them for an appointment at 603-225-7988. And don't forget to dial that 603 because you have to do it now.
You got to do it.
Yeah, and even if you're in the state, you have to dial 603. That is the voice of Dan Feldis here on Feldis and Kale. And Dan, very exciting. The good news today is that we have a brand new signal. We're reaching a whole new audience in the greater Manchester area at 101.9 on the FM dial.
That's right.
The bad news is I pick up the Concord Monitor this morning, this being Tuesday morning, and you're all over the front page getting ready to move back to Iowa.
Well, Ken, you know, it's been, you know, an honor for serving for about a decade in legal aid, New Hampshire legal assistance. Three terms in the state Senate. Majority leader, was an honor to be the Democratic nominee for governor in the last election cycle. But, you know, as I've shared with you and others over the last 15 years and since graduating law school, both Aaron and I were grateful to make New Hampshire our home. And we both grew up in Iowa. Yep. But we met and fell in love in New Hampshire and made amazing friends here. Really fought hard for the causes we believe in. Worked hard here, raised our kids here for the first few years of their lives. We love it here, and we always will. Like all two career working families, we need to make some decisions that benefit our entire family, and I'm proud to share that Aaron has been offered and accepted a job as deputy counsel for the University of Iowa, located in Iowa City, Iowa. It's a really an incredible opportunity, the type of thing that Aaron went to law school for. And it's an incredible opportunity to raise our two amazing young daughters, Iris and Josie, around their grandparents, cousins, aunts, and uncles, as both of our extended families live in Iowa. And for us, Ken, like so many, COVID has only heightened the importance of family and just how fragile life can be. You know, look, we're going to miss New Hampshire, no doubt, even as we look forward to these incredible opportunities in Iowa. Aaron and I will be forever grateful for meeting each other and starting our family here in New Hampshire, for all of the folks in New Hampshire who provided us opportunities and who believed in us, for all of our colleagues, neighbors, friends, and supporters, and for all of the positive change that we were honored to be a part of. And I'll say this, Ken, the progress that we made and the challenges ahead have never been about any one campaign, any one person, or any title. It has always been positive impact, promoting truth and the common good, lifting up those who have been left out and left behind, and building a brighter future for our kids, not just Iris and Josie, but all our kids. And it's an ongoing responsibility in this democracy of ours for all of us. In the words of Justice Louis Brandeis, former Supreme Court Justice, the most important political office in a democracy is that of private citizen, not governor, not state senator. So my encouragement to those listening who are hearing this news is stay active, stay engaged, stay involved. This is your democracy. And obviously for us, this relocation process will take some time, but from the bottom of our hearts, both Aaron and I want to thank everybody for everything and our very best to everybody out there.
Well, I know it was a difficult decision, obviously, but both with roots. Now, let me get it straight from what you said. Both you and Aaron are from Iowa originally.
Yep.
But met here in the Granite State.
We met in New Hampshire.
Wow.
We'll be forever grateful for meeting and falling in love right here in the Granite State and starting our families here. And obviously both of our extended families are in Iowa, and we got two young girls and Iris and Josie. So, this all makes good sense. No doubt about it. And, going to be grateful for years to come. Many great memories, love New Hampshire. Aaron and I joked that, prior to prior to this, we would do our vacations in Iowa. Now we'll do our vacations in New Hampshire.
There you go. There you go. Why not? So I know people are curious about this, Dan. They know what you've accomplished in the world of public service, and you have done a lot here in the state of New Hampshire that a lot of people don't know about. But you have accomplished a lot in your years here in the Granite State. But you know what people are wondering right now? How did you meet?
Sure. We there was a summer law clerk at New Hampshire Legal Assistance where I worked, where I served as an attorney and managed the housing justice project. So all the foreclosure work, protecting homeowners from foreclosure by Wall Street banks and doing that kind of work for some time. We had a summer law clerk. Her name was Caitlin. And at the end of her clerkship, she said, look, I got a friend who is that you may want to meet. She's also from Iowa, and she's also kind of funny.
Okay. Like you, we've come to know how funny a guy you are, Dan Feltus, and what a good sense of humor you have.
So, Caitlin connected us, and as they say, Ken, the rest is history.
Isn't that something, though, really?
It's pretty wild.
See, so it was fate that both of you wound up here in the Granite State, without question.
I would say so. I know some people don't believe in it, but I believe in it occasionally, and I think I believe in it in this context, no doubt.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, you will definitely be missed by many in the state of New Hampshire. You have been here how many years now?
Came here right after law school, yeah. 15 years ago, yeah. Again, served for better part of a decade as a legal aid attorney in New Hampshire Legal Assistance, helping low to middle income families, and then was fortunate to have that honor and privilege to do that work, and then fortunate and grateful to have served in the state Senate for 3 terms and as majority leader and.
Youngest, majority leader in the history of the state.
That's true. Yeah. Just wonderful colleagues, great people, fortunate to be able to serve in that capacity. Got a lot done, not just in that context, but, working with Republicans, Democrats, on a whole host of issues. And that's what it's all about. It's about the relationships, about your friends, your family. It's about making a positive impact. And I'm just grateful for all of that.
So when you look back, Dan, over your 15 years here in New Hampshire, what will stand out? What are you most proud of that you accomplished over the years?
Oh, boy. I mean, I think there are a lot of things that we were able to get done that are lasting, bipartisan work on Medicaid expansion to make sure that roughly 50,000 Granite Staters are able to have health insurance, to some of the most significant legislation combating childhood lead poisoning from both paint and water in the state history, protecting people with pre-existing conditions and, to... children's mental health. We'd passed that comprehensive children's mental health legislation. It's being finally stood up. All of this, by the way, have been bipartisan work, and I'm just grateful for all the work that everybody has done. And, always putting families, working families, and family businesses in at the forefront of priority. That's what it's been about to me. Working together with folks and elevating those issues that sometimes are left by the wayside. It's the just to be clear, the biggest corporations and the state and the nation have plenty of lobbyists. Ordinary folks don't for the most part, and small business owners. And so, really trying to provide a voice to them and work together. So I'm grateful for all the progress that we've made. A lot of landmark pieces of legislation, whole different across the spectrum, different issues from energy to healthcare to workers' rights to, advancing issues here in the pandemic that affect seniors and working families. So there's a lot to talk about, but I don't think there's any one single thing I can lift up other than that, you know, in the over 15 years, we made a lot of progress, and a lot of it was working together and really moving things forward for ordinary folks.
Well, you know, you've done so much for so many in this state. We'll be grateful to you for many, many years to come for what you've accomplished. And we wish you and Aaron and the girls nothing but the best. And I know that you will continue. This is not your final Feldes and Kale program, but
it isn't.
And I know you will continue, even when you're in Iowa, to be a contributor to this this radio program.
We'll certainly be calling in and contributing where I can, and it's been a great show. Ken Kale is a great person, a great radio co-host, and really appreciative doing this show with you, Ken.
Well, thank you, Dan. I do appreciate that. Even though we are from opposite sides of the aisle, we were able to get along and have a lot of fun. You're a terrific guy, and the state is losing a terrific public servant. But I know that you'll continue to visit the Granite State and be a part of this radio program as well.
You got it.
No doubt. All right. We're doing things on the fly here, as we normally do here on Feldes and Kale. So I am going to take a quantum leap here and guess that we have Chris Schultz on the line. Is that true? State Representative Chris Schultz? Hello? I guess maybe not at this time. Thought we had Representative Schultz on the line. Hopefully we'll get a call back from the state rep and talk about the minimum wage and the possibility of raising the minimum wage here in New Hampshire, a state that technically does not have a minimum wage, although I guess, Dan, what they do is here in New Hampshire take the national minimum wage, which is $7.25, and go from there.
That's right. Yeah. So no state minimum wage defaults to the national $7.25, and certainly if you're working hard and 40-hour work week, $7.25 an hour doesn't make ends meet, no doubt about it.
Right.
And so you're going to make hard work pay off. So in my view anyways, it's long past time to raise the minimum wage here in New Hampshire to look out for working people and working families. And, we'll see if we can get Representative Schultz on the horn here. But she has been an advocate and a leader on the minimum wage here in New Hampshire and beyond. And, you know, grateful for all her work on this issue and so many others. She represents East Concord and does a heck of a job.
Let's try it again. Representative Schultz, are you there? Are you there, Representative Schultz? Apparently not. So we will wait, and hopefully she will call back, and we'll take it from there. But we look forward to having her on the program today and maybe another guest as well here on Feldes and Kale at 103.9 1450 WKXL. And don't forget our new signal in the greater Manchester area, which is 101.9 on the FM dial. So that's new for you to check out, so you'll be able to hear WKXL in places that you have never heard us over the air before at 101.9 when you're traveling toward Manchester or Goffstown or Bedford, wherever you might be in the greater Manchester area. We are proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and Weed Family Automotive at 124 Store Street in Concord, weedfamilyautomotive.com. You can give them a call for an appointment at 603-225-7988. And a lot of people are going to have to change their contacts in their phones because, you can't just dial the 7 numbers anymore. You have to dial the area code, even when you're in-state. That has just taken effect over the last few days. But bear that in mind, folks. It is Feldes and Kale on those great radio stations and those great signals. And let's check in now. and see if we have Representative Schultz on the line. Good morning.
Is this Representative Schultz or Saru?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me better now?
I can hear you. I can hear you. Is this Representative Schultz?
Or is it Saru?
It is
Representative Schultz. All right. Very good. Very good. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it is certainly our pleasure. And you have joined us before here on Feldes and Kale, serving the great folks in East Concord. And our topic today, as Dan and I were just discussing, is the minimum wage and how to raise that minimum wage here in the Granite State. So, you know, tell us where it stands now and what you would like to accomplish.
Sure. Well, we're in Washington, D.C. today. We will be hopefully meeting with our senators, Senator Shaheen and Senator Hassan, because the ball is in the Senate's court. The president has said he would sign the Raise the Wage Act. Our members of the House have already passed it, and Congresswoman Custer is a co-sponsor. So there are roughly 8 people in the U.S. Senate standing between us and passing the Raise the Wage Act, and we have the power of 2 of those folks being from New Hampshire. So, yes.
So that's where we are today. And who are those people that are standing in the way of raising the minimum wage?
Well, like those 8 senators, and like I said, Senator Hassan and Senator Shaheen, as of today, have yet to say they will support it when it comes to the Senate floor. So I know that they've said that they would support up to 12. We're here to bring the voices of many from New Hampshire who are eager for 15 and for ditching the sub-minimum wage as well. And when the Dunkin' Donuts in Concord near Walmart pays $15 plus tips on top, I think that's a real signal that we're on a path of acceptance and of need for that.
And your work at the state legislature has now gone to your work on the One Fair Wage Project, Representative Schultz, and you've been a leader in the state legislature on this, and obviously right now the opportunity exists principally at the federal level, it seems. And you talk a little bit about your work in the state legislature on advocating for reinstating and raising the wage here in New Hampshire.
Right. Yes, at the State House, a House bill has passed. I'm the lead sponsor for $15 minimum wage. It unfortunately was voted along party lines in committee with a recommendation for it not to pass. Of course, we'll be fighting that on the House floor in January when it comes there in the State House. And I've also introduced a bill to get rid of New Hampshire's subminimum wage, because 7 states have done that already, and they are very liberal states like Idaho and Alaska are among those. And that has been wildly successful for the restaurant industry and the hospitality industry in those states. So we hope if the Raise the Wage Act doesn't include that, or even if it passes that way without it, that we can be the 8th state to get rid of the subminimum wage.
Now, the subminimum wage is what, $3.26 per hour for tipped employees? Is that what you're talking about?
$3.27.
Okay.
Yes. And that was just signed into law, locking that down so that if the federal minimum wage passes, that previously our subminimum wage has previously been tied to the federal minimum wage as a percentage. I think it was 45% of the minimum wage as it exists. So that would raise it and would have raised it before if we pass it federally. And the governor just signed a bill to lock it in at that lower rate. And there's a lot of complications around that. You know, I think people assume that servers and other tips workers will always earn at least the minimum wage. And, of course, that is what the law suggests. But it depends on how you average it. And it's hard to track that as a server. As a matter of fact, I have a server here with me from New Hampshire. Her name is Kim. And if you're cool with it, I would love for y'all to meet her.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Chris. We have to take a quick break, just very quickly, and then we will talk with her. And we're speaking now with Chris Schultz, who represents East Concord in our state legislature. And this is Feldis and Kale at 103.9, 101.9 FM in Manchester, 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. Welcome back to Feldis and Kale at 103.9, 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com, and our new signal in the Manchester area at 101.9 FM. Proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and our friends at Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. Chris Schultz is with us, representing East Concord in the state legislature, talking about raising the minimum wage. And Chris, introduce us to the guest you have for us.
Yes, her name is Kimberly. If it's okay with y'all, keep to her first name because we don't want her to lose her job where she works.
Okay.
And she is a server in New Hampshire from Manchester. I'm going to hand her the phone right now.
Very good. Kimberly?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Just doing fine. Ken Kale and Dan Feldis here. And Kimberly, you are obviously in Washington today with Representative Schultz and many others. And your goal is to get the minimum wage raised.
Yes.
In the state of New Hampshire and elsewhere.
Minimum wage and tipped minimum wage. I would like to see an end to their even being able to say tipped minimum wage.
Right. So now we just discussed with Representative Schultz that the tipped minimum wage right now is $3.27 per hour, correct?
Correct.
And the minimum wage in New Hampshire right now is $7.25, which is the default minimum wage. So where would you like to see it, Kimberly?
I would love to see all workers making $15 an hour minimum wage with benefits and sick time and vacation pay. I mean, ideally, that's where I would love to see it go. I think it's time for everyone to make a living wage.
Kimberly, thank you so much for speaking out, for your activism, and for your work. And certainly, I firmly believe we need to make hard work pay and reward hard work. And how would you respond, though, to restaurant owners, some of whom, not all, but some restaurant owners who say you can't raise the tip minimum wage because it will either put them out of business or they're going to, potentially lay off workers or whatever, those type of threats from some restaurant owners? How would you respond to them?
What kind of a business model is it okay for a business to rely on their customers to pay their wages at their discretion?
Right, through tips.
You can't afford to pay your employees. You should not be in business. And the restaurant industry has relied on this model for so long and kept people in poverty for so long. And women, especially in vast percentages above any other demographic, women are abused because of this system. And it's time. This is 2021. It is time for it to end. And I think that business, they need to fix their model. There are 7 states in the nation that have made it work. Those restaurant owners are more than willing to speak up and tell them, this is what you need to do to make it work.
As you know, working in the restaurant business, and I don't know how long you've been involved.
23 years
in the restaurant business.
Yes,
and there's a real in restaurants, especially the mom and pop variety. I don't know if you work for one of those or a chain restaurant or what. But usually there's a very slim profit margin in a restaurant.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. So
I will agree with that. And I would say that it they can raise prices when the cost of their goods go up, when the cost of their electric goes up, when the cost of things go up, the prices go up. Well, the cost of your labor is going to go up, so your prices can go up a little bit. And if you look at business models like the major chains, Applebee's, compare a menu in Applebee's in New Hampshire to a menu on Applebee's in California, and they're the same prices.
Interesting.
You're paying the same price for a burger at Applebee's on the west side in Manchester as you're going to pay in Los Angeles.
And that's even though the minimum wage in California is what? What's the minimum wage in California? It's like
I believe 13
or 14.
Minimum wage is 15 and then 13 for tipped workers. I'm not exactly positive.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but either way, it's substantially higher than in New Hampshire, but the burger price is roughly the same. And I, for one, can love cheeseburgers, and
me
I
too.
Would love to pay a little bit more for my cheeseburger, even if it was more, and it sounds like maybe it's not, but I would pay more for my cheeseburger knowing that the servers are getting paid a minimum wage that makes sense. And certainly, you know, we tip as much as we possibly can, but
exactly.
You shouldn't have to.
You're not factoring in when you look at the end of your restaurant bill. You're saying, well, the prices are going to go up, so now my $50 restaurant bill is going to be $60. Yeah, but your $50 restaurant bill was already $60 plus because you were tipping. You're not accounting that into. You're paying their wage.
Right, right.
So let's reverse it and guarantee that wage and let the restaurant owner pay it.
And you've probably been. Over your 23 years of service, you've probably had situations where customers, even though you've provided good service, either did not tip or tipped very little.
Correct. It happens all the time. I mean, not to me in particular, but I see it all the time in the industry to my coworkers when there's literally nothing wrong with service. You know, $5 on a $50 tab, and you just take it and you roll with it.
What
other industry and what other would a worker take less than they were promised or less than they were thought they were making? And
right.
It would be okay. And we're just supposed to, when someone stiffs us, we're just supposed to shoulder it off and move on to the next table. And the next one will be better.
And well,
but I didn't get paid for that work.
Exactly, Kimberly. And sorry to cut. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I just wanted to make sure I asked this question. Not only is it about the dignity of work, and making sure that hard work is rewarded, but particularly lately, I mean, you are working in a pandemic and out in public.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that and about the need to support our workers who are serving the public, in this case, serving food to the public. Talk a little bit about that and the meaning of rewarding work, especially in a pandemic.
Well, I mean, our wages didn't go up because of the pandemic. Grocery store workers got a raise. Hopefully nurses got a raise. I honestly don't know much about the medical field, but my wage didn't go up. I didn't make any more money because we were in a pandemic. I actually make less because with the worker shortage, oftentimes the kitchen can't keep up. We have to go on a forced wait, and it reduces the amount of customers, the amount of turnover. So my wages actually go down. And working in a pandemic is hard. A lot more hand washing, a lot more attention to staying away from people. Nobody blows on birthday cakes anymore. it's been extremely difficult, extremely stressful. I've worked through a lot of presidential elections in my 23 years, and I have never felt the political pressure the way I feel at these last 2 years. Customers ask uncomfortable questions, put us in uncomfortable situations, and my wage depends on how I answer. And that's horrifying.
So right now, we were talking with Chris Schultz earlier. It appears that Senators Hassan and Shaheen are for a raise in the minimum wage, but to $12 and not the 15 that you were seeking. What would you think about that if they hold that line?
Well, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair compensation for the people of New Hampshire. I think that we need to be making a full $15 an hour in order to pay bills and survive. You want New Hampshire to thrive. You not want New Hampshire to get ahead. You want your workers to get a leg up in life and do better for their community. Well, they can. $12 an hour is barely going to pay their rent and feed them. They're not going to get very far. And I believe that it's time for this country to step up. And why does New Hampshire have to be on the back end waiting for the federal government to make the raise when the state could do it?
All right. Well, we know, Kimberly, where you stand, and 23 years, you said, in the restaurant work, restaurant world.
Yes.
Well, terrific. And, you know, we hope that that you'll be able to serve at a higher wage. I don't know if it'll be $15 an hour, but at a higher wage in the not-too-distant future.
I hope for it. I fight for it every day.
All right.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Nice to chat with you.
Yes. Nice. Did you want to talk to Chris again? Or?
Sure.
Oh, all right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're welcome, Kimberly.
Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's Kimberly, who works as a server, and she has for 23 years. In the restaurant business. And,
in Manchester.
In the Queen City. And we can be heard in the Queen City now on 101.9 on the FM dial.
That's true fact.
How about that? And Chris, are you back with us?
I am.
Okay. There's Chris Schultz, who represents the east side of Concord in the state legislature, battling for the minimum wage. So, Chris, anything you would like to add before we wrap it up?
Well, I wouldn't be a good organizer, too, if I didn't encourage folks to reach out to our U.S. senators, reach out to all your elected officials and encourage them to support the minimum wage, because I will say the majority of Granite Staters support this. A majority of independent voters, a majority of Democratic voters, and almost a majority of Republican voters. It's amazing how many rank-and-file Republicans in the Granite State support this, and that's because it affects their family and they get it.
Is the reason that the senators, Shaheen and Hassan, are holding the line at $12 is because of what they hear from restaurant owners?
Absolutely. I can't, of course, speak for them. I think they're probably also influenced by the fact that as former governors, they understand the state's dependence on the restaurant and lodging industries. And, that does create a complication. But now we also have a list of restaurants in New Hampshire owned by people who agree with our view and are supportive of the Raise Wage Act and getting rid of the subminimum wage in New Hampshire. And that organization is called High Road Restaurants. On their website, there's a list of restaurants across the Granite State that the owners support this, and they want a level playing field. They are working hard to try to pay their workers a higher wage, and that only works if there's a level playing field. And we have the support of restaurateurs like Alex Ray from the Common Man family of restaurants. And a whole host, literally across the city.
Well, that's good to know. And as we talked about earlier with Kimberly, some restaurant owners support this, some do not. And so this coalition of restaurant owners in New Hampshire who support raising the minimum wage and getting rid of the subminimum wage, what's the name of this coalition again, Chris, and what's their website?
We're the onefairwage.org. Is our coalition, and highroadrestaurants.org or com. I'm sorry, I don't know. I'm forgetting
sure.
that.
Sure, yeah.
Onefairwage.org is where you go to sign our petition, and there are instructions about how to call your elected officials.
And certainly it does make sense if you're a restaurant owner and you support raising the minimum wage and getting rid of the subminimum wage for tipped workers, that you would want a level playing field. That makes good sense. And certainly, I would agree with those restaurant owners who express that point of view. And Representative Schultz, in the time we have remaining, what are some of the final messages you would have for listeners across the state of New Hampshire in terms of the minimum wage and in terms of where this debate is at, both at the state and the federal level?
Your voice matters. Your votes matter. The choices that we in a democracy make ought to outweigh people who donate to campaigns. Use that voice. Vote. And we outnumber, when you add it up, our votes outnumber the donors. And raising that up is the key to winning this fight.
And certainly the prospect is greatest at the federal level because Governor Sununu has vetoed a number of minimum wage bills, even going to $12 an hour, vetoed that. And so the prospect is just not really there right now. But the activism you would encourage going to onefairwage.org, is that correct, on the federal
correct.
Level?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
When does this come to a vote?
As things in Washington, D.C. do, it's changing.
Right.
But we're hearing late winter, early spring.
Okay.
Fingers crossed. The sooner the better.
Yeah. All right. Well, Representative Schultz, we thank you for being with us once again and having Kimberly join us as well and getting her perspective because she's been doing this for many, many years. So we appreciate her being with us and you as well.
Thank you so much.
Chris.
Take care.
You bye-bye. Too. Bye-bye.
It's Feldis and Kale, 1039 1450 WKXL, and our new signal, 1019 FM, in the Manchester area, and all the programming for WKXL on nhtalkradio.com. We'll take a break. Feldis and Kale continues, proudly sponsored by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. 1019, 1039, 1450 WKXL. How many more signals will we have in our future?
So many.
We're expanding, rapidly expanding here. Feldis and Kale.
Going global.
Yeah, I know. And you're leaving us just when we're getting into the Queen City and beyond. But I know you'll still be a part of the show, even though you're heading to Iowa, and maybe you'll be able to go to the Field of Dreams game next year. That'd be fun, huh?
I think the girls would like that, we'll check it out.
That
pricey ticket, so.
Oh yeah, that's true. But you might have some connections out there. But I think justice prevailing that the Atlanta Braves are in the World Series. I really do to celebrate the World Series and enjoy it after being, in my opinion, unjustly stripped of the Major League All-Star game by clueless Commissioner Rob Manfred. And I'm so glad, really, for the people of Atlanta that they get a World Series. And there's no stopping that. And they're going to start games. The first two games will be in Houston, then the middle three in Atlanta starting on Friday night. And I'm just happy for them. The only wish I have beyond that is that the Boston Red Sox were their opponents.
What happened? What happened to those bats? The bats went silent.
I wish I could explain it. I wish anybody could explain it. The bats were sizzling. Yeah, the Red Sox had the lead. In this series and the home field advantage.
They're hitting the cover off the ball, and then they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
And it all almost immediately went away, and it's really inexplicable as to what happened. People have their theories, of course, but it's just that the team went in a total slump. And you're right, couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, and the pitching was okay. Pitching was okay. They still have things to work on in the off season. But in the bigger picture, no one, let's face it, even the most ardent of Red Sox fans, did not believe that the Red Sox would get as far as they did in 2021.
No, that's true. That is definitely true, Ken. And you and I talked about it at the outset of the season, is that everybody was poo-pooing this team. You and I had some faith but
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, I think both you and I were surprised how far they've made it. It's a heck of a team, and you know, they got to build off of what they have. And I think the pickup of Schwarber was a great pickup.
It was,
and he really had some clutch hits and helped them make it this far. They got to build off of this team, and you know, I'm hopeful that they do that. And you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens next year. And it's a great group. It's a special group. I think really surged past all expectations of the traditional media.
No doubt. No doubt about that. And, you know, there are a lot of questions not only coming up about the Red Sox in the offseason, and I think their weakest point right now is the bullpen. I don't think there's any doubt that the bullpen is their weakest link.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to work on that. But the bigger question is, and this is one that will be debated for the next several months and beyond, the collective bargaining agreement for Major League Baseball,
right,
which is up after this season. And there are a lot of issues on the table, and many of the insiders feel that there's almost a 100% chance of a work stoppage prior to the 2022 season.
It certainly sounds that way. I mean, a lot of people are suggesting that there is a lot of major issues that need to be ironed out. And, you know how these things work is both sides tend to posture and,
yeah,
and run right up to deadlines to try to negotiate and resolve some of those major issues. And I think given the extent of the issues on the table, I think the people who suggest that there might be a work stoppage and, you know, that's a reasonable conclusion, but we'll find out. We'll find out.
We will.
And hopefully people just continue to work in good faith and, you know, and try to iron these things out. And hopefully we'll have a full season of baseball next year, but
we shall see.
We shall see.
We shall see. To be continued, as is this radio program here on 101.9 FM in the Manchester area, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 1450 WKXL, 1450 on the dial, celebrating 75 years of broadcasting excellence, just like the NBA, both celebrating their 75th anniversary, WKXL and the NBA. And this show is proudly sponsored by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. 101.9 FM in Manchester, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 1450 WKXL, the old reliable signal, and nhtalkradio.com. It's Feldis and Kale. We're heading down the home stretch, and during the last break, talking a little baseball. One other issue that I have is the fact that, you know, when I was a kid, and that was a long, you know, admittedly, a long time ago.
Like 15 years ago.
A long time ago. I used to love coming home from school, grade school and high school, watching the World Series in the afternoon. I'm old enough to remember that. And it's been a long time since there's been a World Series game played in daylight, complete daylight, during the afternoon hours, no matter where it's been.
Right.
It's been night games for years. And I think, you know, they're dumb. I think they're just D-U-M-B dumb in Major League Baseball, not to have at least one day game during the World Series. Weekday, but on a weekend.
Yeah,
day.
You could do it on a weekend.
Yeah.
You could do it on a weekend without a doubt and still get, you know, fair amount of TV coverage and people tuning in. In fact, you might get more. I don't know.
I think you would get more because, you know, Sunday is little you can do. Right now, this Sunday game is going to be right up against Sunday night football, Dallas and Minnesota. Which game is going to win that battle? I can tell you right now, it's the Sunday night football game that's going to get bigger numbers than Atlanta and Houston. But Major League Baseball will not play in the afternoon in the World Series, and I just think it's dumb. But that's just my thought.
I agree with you, Ken.
Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
All right. So that'll do it. That'll wrap it up. Put a ribbon on this edition of Feldis and Kale.
That's a wrap.
Thanks for joining us at 1019, 1039, 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com.